This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
Oh boy, it's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. His name is Mike Fratelloni, and I am all sorts of fired up. Are you ready, Michael?
You are on fire.
So we don't really discuss much in sports, but the matters that we discuss in the show are things that you and I find interesting,
yeah.
Right? All sorts of things.
It can
be being dads. It can be being husbands. It can be whatever.
Chicks.
Right. But I have to discuss the Kirk Cousins contracts. I'm not here to break down whether it's a fit for the Vikings or whatever. I just purely want to talk about the financial component of what this guy has been able to accomplish. Both he and his agent, Mike McCarty, have been able to accomplish in 12 years.
Sure.
From his rookie season in 2012, when he was with the Washington Redskins, now the Washington football team, and now the Washington Commanders, to now that he's moving on to becoming the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. First of all, when the number broke yesterday, I was astounded.
Mm-hmm.
I was truly astounded.
Help me break this down.
So he signed a four-year, $180 million contract. And we've seen gigantic contracts and gigantic numbers through sports all the time. So it may seem like, well, okay, $180 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then you just truly look at, okay, two things. Number one, he's 36 years old.
Sure.
Number two, he's coming off of an Achilles injury, which 15 years ago, when you got an Achilles injury, you were just done playing sports professionally. So then I really started to dig into the true tentacles of what was going to happen to Mr. Cousins. And this is from Warren Sharp. And I follow Warren because he's very analytically driven, but he's about various things around sports that deal with the financial aspects of sports. And I kind of find that stuff interesting.
I do too.
In 2012, Kirk Cousins was a rookie with the then Washington Redskins and signed a standard four-year contract. He was a fourth-round pick,
mm-hmm.
meaning he was making fourth-round money, which is, I think back then, would have been about $200,000 a year.
Sure.
So I think in those 4 years, he maybe made a guaranteed dollar amount of less than $2 million. I'm just guessing, but I know it's not very high.
Sure.
In 2016, he was franchise-tagged by the Washington Redskins, and that fully guaranteed amount was 19.9. So do you want to add up the math here? Is that what you want to do?
I actually have it on
okay.
thing, yeah.
In 2017, he was once again franchise tagged by the Washington Redskins. What that means, for those of you that don't know, what when you get franchise tagged, you get the average of the top five salaries at your position.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that number is, you get that amount in fully guaranteed money. Another team has the chance to sign you, but they have to give up a lot of draft capital in order to do so,
sure.
and a lot of teams are not willing to do that. So they did that for 2 years with Captain Kirk. And then in 2018, he signed with the Vikings, and he got I believe it was $84 million contract for 3 years, fully guaranteed.
Not bad.
Every penny of that was fully guaranteed. Yeah. And then in 2020, he signed a two-year extension, which was $66 million, fully guaranteed. In 2022, he signed another one-year extension mm-hmm. for this year, in which that was $35 million, fully guaranteed.
Not bad. Not bad money.
So then this contract that he now just signed with Atlanta is $180 million with $100 fully guaranteed. In 2024, he is going to make $65
million.
$25 of that is a base salary, meaning that's what goes on the books mm-hmm. for the Atlanta Falcons in terms of salary cap. Because every team only gets
so much, yeah.
Another $40 of that is a signing bonus. So he's
Why is there such a thing as a salary cap then? Why don't you just give everybody a signing bonus? Why didn't they give him a $60 million signing bonus and have him only get paid $5
million? That's what the Jets did last year with Aaron Rodgers. Okay. He had a salary of $1 million, but the rest of it was converted to a signing bonus, and then he got hurt.
I don't get it. Okay.
Well, a lot of teams choose to do it that way. But what you end up doing then is you end up punishing yourself down the road.
Later on in life. Okay. Oh, because that money still has to go to you somehow.
Correct. Okay. So when we get to the year 2027, if all of the escalators are hit, and if all of the, and there's no reason to believe, because I heard this morning that basically if Kirk is still on the Atlanta Falcons roster a year from now, it will kick in his third season as fully guaranteed money as well.
Really?
Which I did not know until this morning.
Okay, that's a big deal.
So that means if he's on the Falcons through 2027, at the current contract he just signed yesterday, or will officially sign tomorrow, he will have made $411 million in about 15 years.
Are you kidding me?
So that means, ladies and gentlemen, because I know Phil Mackey from Score North, formerly of 1500 ESPN with us, Phil said at that point then, he will have been the second highest paid player in the history of the NFL.
Wow.
And I don't know who is number one, but I would assume it's Brady. I would just assume that that's who it is.
According to the Sporting News, I was looking up trying to get a little bit more details. Going into the 24 season, we have a handful of quarterbacks that have been around a long time, right? And they take their total earnings from 2012 or whenever the quarterback started all the way through up until the 2024 season. Can you give me who number one on that list would be? So a quarterback who's going to be active next year and had probably a long career and was a successful quarterback, who would be the number one paid NFL career
and
earnings.
It's not Kirk Cousins.
It's not Kirk Cousins.
It's got to be Aaron Rodgers.
It is Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, since 2005, has made $342 million, right?
Not bad.
That's not including next year's salary. It's this year's. But guess who number two is?
Is it Kirk?
It's Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
Since 2012, so he has 7 years less than Aaron Rodgers, he's made $331 million.
Yeah.
He's short of Aaron Rodgers by $11 million. That doesn't seem who would you have rather had since 2005? Aaron Rodgers for $342 million or Kirk Cousins since 2012?
And again, this isn't me harshing the mellow. Kirk, you got every right to go out and earn every dollar. And it's because of the nature of what is the most brutal sport on the planet, right? So I am not, this is not me saying.
Yeah, we're not mad at you for making
it. No, not at all. But again, this whole idea leading up to all of this negotiation where you're hearing all these different talking heads that are basically talking out of their own rear end, nobody had any idea that this was coming. But the fact that anyone thought that the Vikings were going to somehow be, you know, oh, he might give us the hometown.
Yeah.
What planet are you living on? Kirk has never been that way.
Yeah.
And again, he has every right to go make every penny he wants to. That's his prerogative.
So what the Vikings actually said to him? They said, hey, we're willing to pay you $40 million a year for 2 years.
If you want my honest opinion, they last year were saying, okay, this is going to be it. We're going to make it look like we want to. Because they knew this was what Kirk was going to want. Kirk and his representation were going to want to do.
Sure.
And that's fine. And it's the thing is, the only part that drives me nuts about this is I saw a lot of this on social media yesterday. This whole, well, you're not, now you're going to realize what it's like not to have him. We have won one playoff game in the 6 years he was here.
Sure.
One.
Yep.
One. And I was saying this to somebody very recently where if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, there's no point in giving one player $45 million.
You're not going to win.
And the reason why the thing fell off the cliff to the degree that it did is the Vikings roster had zero depth. And do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because you're paying one guy $40 million. Yeah. That's why. And so that was my whole, you cannot build a long, successful, sustainable roster when you're paying one guy that amount of money, unless that guy is Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Kirk Cousins was a star of The Quarterback, the television show The Quarterback, right?
Yep.
Do you think that added to his value from the Atlanta Falcons watching him and saying, hey, he seems like a really good man?
Do you really want me to get cynical?
Yes.
Because I said this to someone when it came out, that it's not a coincidence that this appeared the season before he was set to become a free agent.
Because he's willing to say, hey, I'm going to come off as such a diligent gentleman.
And again,
and he probably is.
This is not, everybody that's ever met him has said he's nothing great but gracious.
Yeah.
He's
good for him.
He's a family man, and I'm not here to dispute any of that. My point is, he is so calculated to such a degree that all of this was timed out the way it was.
So how much do you think they paid because of just being on that television show? How much more do you think Atlanta paid? How much more were they willing to go? Because it actually went against the Vikings.
Right.
Because he became much more valuable to other teams because they knew he wasn't a nutcase.
I don't know about that part of it, but if he wasn't performing on the field, none of that would have mattered.
Yeah, sure.
There has to be production on the field.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, a team's not going to say, well, here's the check, take it or leave it.
Yeah, but you know, when you have a recluse, and, you know, so a lot of times recluses still get jobs,
true,
right? Even whether they're playing great or not. And now you know this guy's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to commit to it full of heart and soul. It's got to be multiple millions of dollars.
Sure, I'm sure, yeah.
So he might be the highest paid actor in TV last year.
Oh, that's not bad.
And when you think of that, right, that might have added $10 million to him.
Yeah.
For a documentary they did on him. Okay, so I have more of this list. So Matthew Stafford, $328 million since 2009.
Not bad.
Then we get down to Russell Wilson, $256 million since 2012. Came in with Kurt. Kurt made an extra $80 million more than Russell Wilson.
Wow.
And Russell Wilson was the man for a while.
Yeah, he's been to two Super Bowls and won one of them.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. Ryan Tannehill at $196 million. Von Miller at $179 million. Joe Flacco, if since 2008, $175
million. Yeah, and I think that's the... Again, a guy that actually won a Super Bowl. It's something that Viking fans are kind of forgetting that never happened here with Kirk, even though a lot of people want to make you believe that we had all these epic playoff runs.
We
won one of them. We won one playoff game. Anyway, and I don't want to spend our whole show on that, but I really had to get that off my chest because I think people sometimes lack perspective. And the reason I bring that up is, remember how, and I don't know if this is the same pocket of sports fans in this town, but remember when people just harped on day after day and wanted to pounce on how much money Joe Mauer made over the course of his career. And I want to point out to those people, okay, in their time in this town, they made about the same amount of money.
Sure.
Joe and Kirk. Well, Joe won an MVP.
Yeah.
Joe's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't been derailed by, you know, concussions,
sure,
he would have had a much, I mean,
he had an outstanding
career. That's the problem. And again, this is a guy that's from here. He's one of us.
Yeah.
And here comes some outsider that came in and heisted all of our money and then ran off. But anyway.
You want to really make you sick?
What?
How about this? You ready?
Yep.
$65 million he said he's going to make in his first year.
Yep.
So at $65 million, if he would have stayed in Minnesota, he would have had to pay 13% state taxes.
Yep.
That's $8.45 million that he saved by not being a Minnesota Viking.
By going to Georgia?
Think about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what Georgia state taxes are, but I bet you they're not 13%.
No, guarantee they're not as high as they are here.
So he saved $8 million, I mean, a lifetime fortune by just not being a Minnesota Viking.
That's crazy.
Right? And I think there may be some where you play your game, you pay taxes in that state. So that's how Minnesota gets you. So New York gets you, right? So when someone comes and plays the Vikings in Minnesota, you have to pay Minnesota taxes on the money you earned in Minnesota. What a shaft is that, right? So that's why they don't want to have any games here of note because you have to pay taxes on it.
All right. So I have a photo. A friend of mine on Facebook named Joe put this photo up of all of the one, two, three, four, five, the last six Viking quarterbacks.
Okay.
And there's a caption to the right of their photo in the same spread, right? About what this particular quarterback would have been like in the dating scene.
Oh, okay.
You know, okay, so you're with me here?
Yep.
So, of course, there's Kirk.
Sure.
And the caption reads, "The inevitable divorce that cost you half your money and your youth."
Oh.
That's kind of what it feels like with Kirk.
Yeah.
Just above that is Case Keenum. NFC Championship game. What a ride for that one year.
So much fun.
The caption reads, "The better than you expected one night stand that you just couldn't commit to." That's funny. Above that is Sam Bradford. We remember the Sam Bradford era. And the caption reads, "The one-legged freak," or "the one-legged girl who was a freak," with the smiley face emoji. Above that is Teddy Bridgewater. We all loved Teddy.
Yes.
What a great run it was here. Mm. And that caption reads, the high school sweetheart who sadly died on prom night.
Oh, no. I thought
because
it was
we loved Teddy.
I thought it was going to be the high school sweetheart who only could get down on one knee, right?
Wow.
Yeah, see what I did there?
Above that was Christian Ponder.
Oh,
we remember Christian Ponder. You know, we had high expectations. Yeah, no doubt. And that caption reads, "She was a 10, and you thought she was hot. Until you learned that she couldn't read and drooled a little bit." That one's funny. But my favorite is the final one. Mm. It's Brett Favre. Remember Brett Favre? Mm-hmm. 2009, we were going to the Super Bowl, Michael.
Places,
we were going to, if New Orleans hadn't cheated, we were going to the Miami. Yeah. We were going to win the Super Bowl in 2009. And the caption reads, "The Cougar mom who let you do things other girls wouldn't, but accidentally pooped the bed."
Oh, gosh.
That is why I love social media.
And the internet.
Right then and there.
The
internet is great.
Oh, that's funny. So, well, that was big news for this town.
It was. And the thing is, I think the vast majority of Viking fans are saying, well, all right, let's move on. It's time to get on with the rest of our lives.
I prefer to have him here, but I get why that doesn't make financial sense.
See,
I see how he has more value to someone else.
Yeah.
Which is tough to say because you don't know who you're going to get.
So this story was sent to me by a loyal listener, and I believe this loyal listener wants to be nameless. But you've met this listener. This listener is a big-time fan of Garage Logic and a big-time fan of the Weekly Scramble.
Probably a frat packer.
And absolutely a 100% a frat packer, and said, "This is a story that was made for the Weekly Scramble."
Oh, good.
And I said, "I agree." So I'm just going to let you know right now, I've been hanging on to this story, and because this person listens to our show, sent this to me last Tuesday, but it was after we had been done recording the show.
You don't want to give this type of gold to GL.
Are you ready?
Yes.
A married father of three, 37 years old, reveals that he is set to compete in the World Sex Championships and will go head-to-head in contests for everything from endurance to seduction and skills. And he insists that he has his wife's full support.
Hmm.
One Florida man hasn't let being a married father of three stop him from scoring big against some stiff competition in the World Sex Championships. Now, I have many, many questions. And I don't think any of them are answered because it's the rare occasion where I actually pre-read a story before going
you
with it on
to read the
show.
Whole thing?
Yeah,
because where are the pictures?
Well, no, not even that. I had to know. Okay, this because sometimes you get duped, right?
Mm.
And I just thought, all right, well, I have to read ahead of time just to make sure
I'm not
getting duped.
It's a real story, yeah.
Self-described budding porn star Jax Sweller is competing.
Jax Sweller
is seriously? Competing in the month-long festival. Wow,
month-long,
which is run by the Swedish Sex Federation in Spain. While some may crumble under the pressure of showing off their bedroom moves to a public forum, Jax claims that he's living every man's dream. The competition will be live streamed online. It involves a variety of rounds, including seduction, appearance, and proficiency in various acts. Oh, boy. Each round will last between 45 minutes to an hour, and fans will vote on who wins.
Oh, really?
God, can you imagine?
No.
With all competitors paired up with random strangers of the opposite sex. While it's an unusual choice of extracurricular sport, Jax from Tampa, Florida, insists that his wife doesn't mind and supports his hobby. "I'm a very honest person, and I can check with my wife every time I go do a scene. I make sure to have her support each and every time," he said. "I just see it as a different type of business." The former cameraman said he was approached to enter the competition and couldn't really turn it down. "I'm getting paid to perform," he quipped. His hobby does come with some difficulties, with Jax admitting that he's worried that the pressure can sometimes affect his performance. For a guy especially, it can be quite difficult. Performing in front of so many people is kind of daunting, so that will be a challenge, he pointed out. "Every day you're teamed up with a person to do certain tasks, then people who are watching it will vote for who they think the best performers are," he explained. "But I love this line of work, and I'm living every man's dream." Here's some of the particulars. He is getting paid $4,000 for entering, on top of the all-expenses-paid trip. He says that he's always been open with his wife about his desire to work in the adult industry. I'm open with my wife and how I feel and the desires and things I want. He said, although he's unsure how he will fare in the competition, he's sure he will have a good time. I'd love to win, but in a way of doing what I do for a living, it feels like I have already won. Contestants must still submit, testing and things to make sure everything's on the up and up. Mm-hmm. I have a number of questions, and I'm sure you do too. First and foremost, that's great that the wife supports his particular wife.
What a doll.
Obviously, they've got the categories.
Oh.
And I don't think I can reveal any of
even
those.
Even on podcasts where we have no...
Yeah, okay. I just don't... It's I want to be respectful of the space.
Yes.
But you can imagine.
I can imagine.
That there are all sorts of different things that you would be...
I think I would probably lose this competition prematurely, if you know what I mean.
Well, I didn't know, but again, it shouldn't be surprising in 2024 that such a world championship is a thing. But my main question is, opening up to the public and having them vote, you know, I'm not here to judge. Everybody's got their thing, right? Everyone's into certain stuff that I don't, I mean, but that's you. I'm a live and let live guy, right?
Yes, yeah.
But boy, if you're saddling up and watching the old sex championships, I think you may want to reevaluate.
It sure makes the Masters, the upcoming Masters, look like, we could watch the Masters or
do you watch it alone? Because I assume you watch it alone.
And, you know, how much do you really get through? Right? You watch it for a few minutes and then move on.
Yeah.
So my little cartoon bubble is three guys standing on the like first, second, and third place thing. And then somebody walking up with a thing that instead of putting it over their neck with the crown, they just dangle it from a different thing.
Sure,
and they're all just standing there proud as a peacock.
And do you think?
Interesting choice of words. I'm going to tell you.
Yes, sir.
I would have a better chance boxing Mike Tyson and winning than winning the sex championship. I'm going to go the seduction phase. I don't even really know what that word means.
Yeah, it's
I don't really have that. The seduction. How do they measure seduction? You're on a porn site, for God's sakes. That how do you seduce somebody?
Yeah, I don't think you do. I really don't think that is
not meant for guys like me.
No.
Right? I'm not even a watcher, to tell you the truth. It sounds exhausting. And at 53 years old, that's for much younger men.
Well, I did give his age, didn't I?
Yeah, I thought you said 53.
What was his age? I thought I had it.
First line.
Oh, 37.
Oh, 37.
He's 37.
Oh, I was just thinking my age. Maybe
I
was thinking myself. What was it, 37?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when I was 37, I totally could have won that too.
Think so?
No.
Okay. I'm just, I now need to, I need to click out of this story.
Yeah.
Because there's other parts. I was doing a masterful job of navigating through the verbiage of that story.
You know, there's somebody in IT that's looking at your search history and saying, Reavers is looking at the world championship of sex again.
No, see, one of the things that I learned early on in my days here at Hubbard Broadcasting was, you know, most of the staff, the team, the IT guys that work here, and it's four guys, one of which just retired, Johnny, and he was the greatest.
Greatest.
But, you know, Rich and all those guys, they all listen to the show.
Oh, so they know what you're
doing. They realize that when they come to, what used to be the AM 1500 producer's room, they knew that basically those computers weren't
just off
we
limits.
Didn't apply the same rules to those computers that we do to the ones in the rest of the building.
We definitely need antivirus stuff on them, but we don't need to like shut down certain searches.
And I don't think he'd mind me sharing this, but we all know who Kenny Olson is.
We do.
Yeah, and Kenny's been here a long time. And my favorite was always, you know, once or maybe twice a year, he'd have his laptop because when he would come in to do traffic, he had the bus driver schedule. So he was here early in the morning and then again in the afternoon to do the traffic reports. And he'd just come in, he'd call Rich or send him an email with his laptop. And Rich would walk in and he would just say, again. And he'd hand it to Rich, say, yep.
Oh, no.
And then he'd take it and he'd be back in an hour and said, don't let it happen again. Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
She'd have to get a little cleaned up, if you know what I'm saying.
And by cleaned up, they'd throw that laptop away.
Basically,
break it apart.
Yeah.
What was that thing that Hillary Clinton did with her laptop? Bleach bit.
Yeah.
They would bleach bit it.
It's unbelievable.
And say, this is one that no one should see anymore.
Ever again.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know that we're guys are being guys here in the GL and Weekly Scramble Studios.
Yeah, it's kind of a... I saw that story and I just thought a little bit less of myself. I'll be perfectly honest.
I thought you would think, what would your wife Jess say if you said, honey?
Oh, God.
I know you've always been supportive of my dream of being in the adult film industry. I think she might just say, we're going to go ahead and pass.
Yeah, no, in fact, just go ahead and pack up your stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you even need to be in this house anymore.
No.
Yeah, I don't think my wife would give me the old. No. Although, if there was big prize money, she'd say, honey, good luck to you.
Right.
I couldn't stop her from laughing.
I forgot to share, speaking of Kirk Cousins, one of the things I wanted to get into just very briefly, and I promise it really has nothing to do with football. And we talked about it, I think this was it during GL? I think it was during a break on GL. But yesterday, because Joe was out yesterday, and so I was assembling a best of, and then, of course, it's Monday, so Monday Night Sports Talk, and Patrick always wanders in here around 1:30. Mm-hmm. He said, where the bleep's the mayor?
Sure.
I said, oh, he had a little, nothing serious, he's just out for today. Mm-hmm. And so then he said, all right, just you and me then. So we talked Twins, we talked Vikings, we talked, in fact, the news of the Kirk Cousins contract broke while Patrick and I were doing the show.
Yep.
But I watched Patrick because he is the maestro when it comes to getting everybody going. Mm. And that's, I think once people realize that that's what his bit is, they probably tend to like him more. Because when he posts something on Twitter, for example, or X as we like to call it, people need to understand he's looking for a reaction.
Yeah.
He's most of the time not putting this out there because he thinks it's factual. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to get people going. And I'm sitting here yesterday, it's around this time, and I'm editing and posting the show and doing various things. And I'm watching him sit in that chair right across the table from you. And I'm hearing the, and I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to get him going with this Kirk tweet. So after the news was discovered that Kirk was leaving, Patrick issues the following. Cousins, : typical non-vaxxer. No concern for his legion of admirers in Minnesota. Loyalists who never doubted him even when he threw under the sticks on fourth down to lose a home playoff game. And then he stood up and went, yep, that ought to get those bleepers going. And he walked out the door. And it was art.
Yeah.
It was truly art.
Knows what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't, he just doesn't care.
No.
There's not an ounce of him that cares.
No.
And it's not being rude. He's just being funny. And he'll do that with Trump. He'll do that in a lot of different manners.
Oh, God. And then you read the replies. And I want to reply to every single person going, you realize this is giving him joy.
Yep.
Your response is, but I think we've made mention of it enough that I think certain people are catching on to the bit because, you know, for instance, one guy said, this is why I follow Royce. Mm. So he knows.
Sure. Yeah,
that particular guy knows exactly what's going on. But
that's great. Don't you wish you've had some of those in your lifetime on Twitter? You've had some get really trendy, like where your post starts trending.
Yeah, not very often. I know it. Most recent example was with the state flag, and I did. I just kind of put it out there, not even realizing it was gonna be when I put, this should be our new state flag, and it was a picture of the pawn shop burning the weekend after George Floyd. Yeah. So that what better way to symbolize what's going on in Minnesota?
You don't understand what it's like living in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's
really nice here.
It's actually
Minneapolis is nice.
So I like. In fact, I got and I haven't done this in a long time, but I had to give Joe a ride to the station today.
Okay.
So for the first time in, it's been a few years, I drove through awesome parts of St. Paul that I rarely ever go to. And it was a beautiful morning. And I just thought, you know, sometimes it's pretty sweet driving through the city this, right?
St. Paul's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And so is Minneapolis. Parts of both cities are great.
Yes.
I'm just going to be, I'm looking at a building that I'm trying to buy, right?
Oh.
So I want to park some cars there and maybe do some cool things.
Okay.
And I went and looked at it once, and then I came back the next day and I said, hey, can you turn on the lights? And they said, I'm sorry, someone came in here and ripped all the wiring out of the building. And I said, thank you. Good luck.
It's been real.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I don't think this would be the right spot for me. It was like, what is going on?
Wait,
what is going on?
Literally pulled out all of the...
Yeah, pulled out all the wiring. Like, cut wires that were...
Live.
Like, an inch thick. Well, they... I think they figured out how to shut them down or else their bodies would be laying there dead.
That's my question.
But,
okay.
But I... Yeah, they weren't there dead while I looked. But, you know, I just kind of... Someone else had told me about it, and they were there, and the lights were on, and they said, oh, this looks great. I came back in to check it out, and I'm like, okay. So just in the last couple of days, someone went and pulled every last little bit of copper they could pull out of that building. And then I have to think... Do you get that much for copper?
Okay, that
seems like a lot of work.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, and I don't have this. I was just trying to see if I could find it. I was reading a story within the last couple of days. It was somewhere in the South. I don't know if it was Oklahoma or whatever, where thieves dug up underground cable that had been laid down recently.
Sure.
And we're talking miles of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay,
what is that worth?
That had to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of planning. And I can't imagine it was better for you to do that, which is illegal, which could result in you going to prison, as opposed to getting a job.
Yeah, it just seems like if you put the effort into something real, you'd do much better. Like the people that are stealing the copper out of the streetlights, right? Down on Summit, you know, they'll open up the little panel on the streetlights and pull 12 feet of copper wire out. What are you getting for that?
Right.
I mean, how much do you get? Is that a dollar? I guess I don't know what copper sells for. Actually, I know what copper wire sells for because we sell it at the stores. It's not that terribly expensive. It can't be that much. But then when you go to the recycling center and a guy has 400 feet of, you know, 6-gauge wire, you think, where'd you get this?
Right.
And why are they giving that guy money?
Right.
I just don't get it.
Oh, because I'm going to guess that you didn't at one point buy this at Fratelloni's
and say,
have it installed and I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh my God.
I don't, it's the same thing they have to do with those catalytic converters.
Yeah.
Right? They have to say, okay, you can give us this one, but I need your fingerprints, your name, your address, your fingerprints, and have people say, yeah, thanks, I won't do that ever again.
We live in an upside down world. And we talk about a lot of that, you know, during GL, where there's just, we're doing what now? We're proposing what bill?
Why
we're
trying are we to do making all sure of, you can't buy a Kia? We're suing Kia because their cars are too easy to steal?
I just don't understand. Well, I do to a certain extent. I mean, if you really want me to get heavy, I understand why a lot of this is happening, because you're trying to drive away the likes of us.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do.
What does that do? What does anybody want the likes of us to be out of here? I just don't get that. Reavers, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Because I listen to many different podcasts and many different shows on this network and off this network. Had you heard about the Biden administration spending money to send 320,000 immigrants from another country on private jets to the United States? Have you heard that story?
Yes.
Okay, because I talked to some other people about this and said, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? Are we meeting people in Venezuela and saying, hey, 200 of you hop on this jet, we're going to send you to Philly. You know, we don't know what's happened yet, right? But it was 320,000 people, which is a lot of people, right? I mean, that's just a lot of people. And it's weird that the people that I was talking to said, oh, I hadn't heard that. I haven't heard anything about that. And I thought, well, am I just in a really weird echo chamber that half the people don't hear what I hear?
I think because so much of it, there's so much gray area with what's covered, what's not covered, what agenda a particular forum is trying to cater to. And that's why so much of it makes me just throw my hands up in the air and say, I don't want to know any of this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because I do think there's a larger game. I do think that there is, you know, a much greater... what's the word I wanted? A movement afoot.
Sure.
And we've been discussing it for the last 10 years on this show.
Yeah, but that would imply that people can think at a level and make stuff happen at a level that's well above what the standard
person
can
think.
But
I also think that, and again, to get too heavy, but I do think, though, the political class, and I'm indicting both sides.
Sure.
The political class will quite literally stop at nothing to stay in power.
Sure.
No, I mean, that's the
but
most...
But they don't always win.
Right.
Right.
But I'm saying that's the most important thing. They don't give a damn about us.
Yeah.
You know, like Joe made it... Joe had the most perfect reaction to the State of the Union last week where he said, It's the one night that they all gather in a room and pretend that they care about us.
Sure.
That's all that yeah. is, right? Yeah. And that's the same thing here. None of them care about us. Mm-hmm. They don't care about your electricity bill. They don't sure. care about your heating bill. They just want to stay in power. That's the only thing that they give a damn about.
No, but I thought Biden had a plan sure. that would reduce like $6 for everybody on your late fees if you make a late credit card payment. Wasn't that it?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of charging $25, you can charge $17 or some weird number like that. I thought, well, that can't be true. What I am really going to be shocked, Chris, is if this story about this 320,000 immigrants coming into America on jets, mm-hmm. if we did that as a country, what are we doing? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I can kind of get people coming to the border. I get that. People came to the border. I want to have a better life. I'm going to take my chances crossing the border. I get that, right? I get that I would want to do that if I was not living the life that I thought I could get in America. But if we're actively flying people on jets to America, well, time out. Wait. We're supposed to be a country of laws and a country of our borders mm-hmm. and just simple things like that. Like, you know, you can't just have an open and unfettered access. Otherwise, we have nothing.
You should look up a video. I believe that this took place last week in Chicago. You got that measured over there, Mike? That's all right. It was just outside of Chicago. In fact, no, it's a neighborhood in Chicago where they were having a community rally or whatever.
Sure.
And the people in Chicago are past the point of being fed up. So I don't know what that next level sure. is. But there was a father who was talking into the microphone at a whatever you call it, a council meeting yeah. or whatever for some neighborhood in Chicago, saying, hold on here, wait a minute. You're telling me that this brand new housing complex in which we're not taking care of our own people is going to be used to house illegals.
Sure.
And it was guy after guy just going off on the mayor and all the people that are saying, well, we know that we were elected by you, but we're not caring about you right now. We got to take care of all the people that came here illegally because we're going to put them up and give them all. And I just thought, they're starting to realize that what I just said earlier, that I was promised this and now you don't give a flying, you know what
and
about
you're not
me
listening to me when and I you're tell not you listening that's to not any what we should be doing.
And that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. And, but yet they're being shouted down and it's kind of hilarious to see it happen. Unfortunately, we all know what the long-term ramifications are going to be with situations just like this.
Well, when you talk about how it really, when the rubber meets the road on this subject, is when President Biden made the comment about that Laken Riley's killer, and he said the illegal that killed her, right? And then he had to apologize for calling the murderer of this young girl, the murderer. He had to apologize to him for calling him illegal. Right. I'm like, well, that's a problem.
That's
you
where we're at.
You don't have to apologize to a murderer. You have to, you know, do something different to a murderer. And it's like, what is going on? Somebody in the world needs to put their hand up and say, the emperor has no clothes.
No.
We're not doing the right thing.
Right.
It's clear to a bunch of people. And I mean, I get it. We actually need more people in the United States, right? Our growth rate, our birth rate's not big enough. We can use some more people here. But let's just do it orderly, right? Let's just do it fairly, orderly. Just think if you were somebody 4 years ago and you put your name on the list to ask to come into America and it took you months to having anybody reply back to you and you did it the right way and you finally got here. And then now
it's
9 million other people are just crawling in and they're sending jets to some, and I shouldn't say they because it's we. Again, I'm not political. I don't care what parties and I can't care about that. My life is too short to care about that. But something's not right if we're picking people up and saying, come on in. That can't be right. In fact, it seems so amazing. It can't be true.
There was an interesting clip. I don't think it was a news story, but basically how there was a guy in California who watched his neighborhood just essentially, and I think it was a suburb of Los Angeles, basically saying, you know, people are leaving California in droves and how they need more people because they have to have they have to keep the headcount the way they want for congressional seats because obviously California is the biggest state in the union.
Yep.
And they said, I know what's going on here. Like, we got to replace these bodies somehow.
Sure.
And I thought, God, that's a pretty interesting point.
Yeah,
I hadn't even thought about that because obviously that's all based upon a population count, whether it's done them legally or illegally. I don't think any a lot of that will matter.
Well, think of it this way. We on the Garage Logic Podcast Network and the Weekly Scramble, we've advertised for the Sioux Falls Development League.
Correct.
Right? And Sioux Falls is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. But they have to advertise to get people to come to Sioux Falls, right? People don't just aren't inclined to go to Sioux Falls, although it's a beautiful place. California also advertises in Minnesota. Why the blank would the most beautiful state in our country, one of the most beautiful places in the world, need to advertise to get people to move there?
That's
what is going on.
That's how much trouble.
If you're
the
if you're a supermodel, you don't have to advertise for dates unless you're a freaking nutcase. Right? And that's what California must be becoming, is a total nut job.
So if California was on the Viking list of quarterbacks, it would be
super hot. But
it's
a
Christian
complete,
Ponder.
Yes.
We thought it was a 10, but it turned out to be a 4. Exactly.
Because a total screw loose. I find it so perplexing. I was listening to that, and I'm like, you're advertising in Minnesota to ask people to move to California? What have you done?
Was the tagline, hey, we know you're not spending enough in taxes in Minnesota. Come to California.
Yes. Yeah, if you thought your taxes were bad, wait till you get to California. Although
that would be
we just follow that. But I found that really telling that California has to advertise. That California should be so cool that they should say, "I'm sorry, you want to move here?
There's a waiting list.
There's a little bit of a list. Let's get your name and number. We'll call you back because." Again, they have everything, right? It's stunning in California. And something's amiss when they're advertising in flipping Minnesota to get people to move there.
That's crazy.
I don't believe it.
Well, at the end of this, though, we do still want to wish the best of luck to whatever his name was. I think I lost the story. In the sex championships of the world.
Good Godspeed to that guy.
So I will follow that story.
He's like my Rudy, right? You know,
I try,
but throw them in the very end and get yourself a tackle, son.
Whoa. Thank you, Michael.
Rivers, you're the best.
Please do us a favor. Rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to this program. We would appreciate it, and it helps others find it as well. His name is Mike Fratelloni. My name is Chris Rivers. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers.